I wonder if you remember the dreaded words in PE class, or perhaps at a school lunchtime or break. It's time to pick teams. Line up. Now, for some of us, that might be a happy memory. Perhaps we were good at sports. We knew we would get picked early. But for many of us, it can be a painful memory. Waiting to be picked, hoping you wouldn't be the last. At least you would get picked before them. Perhaps you've had the experience of being selected or picked to do something, and then either finding yourself doubting whether or not you are able to do it, or have been told by others that you don't have the necessary skills or experience or age or whatever else is suggested by those commenting. Being picked for a team, singled out for a task, can be scary. We all battle those sort of internal questions and maybe some external opposition. But when we've been given a task or a job to do, we need to keep stepping one foot in front of another. Now, as Christians, we believe that we are called and tasked by a God who knows our names. We read in Scripture, He has a plan for our lives, who since the beginning of time itself has pre-planned roles and tasks and opportunities for all of us, if we are obedient enough to listen, careful enough to pause and consider, and perhaps courageous enough to respond to where God leads. Now, God in the Scriptures has a talent for picking the most unlikely heroes and heroines, strange picks who are often overlooked by others or in danger of being completely the opposite to whom we would have picked if God had asked us for our opinion. You see, Gideon hides in the cellar. He's hardly the mighty warrior the angel introduces himself as. Saul was on his way to Damascus to round up followers of Jesus, and yet encountered Jesus on the way and was given the task to go and spread the good news. David was too small for the armour that he was offered before going out to fight the giant Goliath. And yet they were all the people God picked, known and loved by God, called before they were necessarily qualified, written into the pages of history with lessons for us all to learn and know about the God who still picks the unqualified, who still sees those written off by others, who calls those of us brave enough to respond, come and follow me. Come and step into life in all its fullness today. Now this Advent, we are journeying towards Christmas together, deeper into some of the stories of those at the centre of the Nativity story. In the midst of the cosmic story, we are reminded that there are very human stories too. God works out his plan through the lives of ordinary people in Scripture, and indeed in our lives today. Last week we looked at the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a faith-filled couple, righteous before God but frustrated and hurting by their inability to have a child. Zechariah hearing with a message from the angel Gabriel in the temple that they were to have a son who they were to name John, who would go before the Messiah to prepare the way. We saw in these opening verses of Luke's gospel a key theme for Luke at play. God is the promise-keeping God. Even after years of silence, no prophets have spoken for 400 years, God cuts into human life, human stories, and does exactly what he says he will do, despite how unbelievable it seems to Zechariah. Today we pick up the next part of the story. Angel Gabriel is going to appear again, not in a temple in Jerusalem, to a well-thought-of priest performing his duties on behalf of the people of Israel, but instead to a teenage girl in a little town far away from anywhere important. As Gabriel again comes and speaks of a boy to be born, quite unlike any other child, in the most unusual and extraordinary of ways. The story of Mary's visit from Gabriel might be one of the most well-known stories in all of Scripture. But what today might God want to reveal to each of us in the story of his first pick to carry his son for us today? What detail might we have perhaps missed in the cute primary school nativities that God might want to speak and highlight to us this morning? Whether it's the first time or the thousandth time we've thought about Mary and the role that God asks of her. It's our prayer that God would speak as if it's the first time we hear this story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel is again sent from God to Nazareth to visit Mary, a young teenage virgin girl engaged to Joseph who belongs to the house of David. Gabriel addresses Mary as "O favoured one," which somewhat confuses and troubles Mary because it's quite different from perhaps a more customary hello or how are you, "O favoured one." Gabriel then speaks familiar words, and we heard them for the first time last week. "Do not be afraid. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favour with God." We know the story well. The angel continues, "Mary, you are to have a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great, the Son of the Most High God. This is no ordinary baby, for he will go on to reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary is flabbergasted. How can this be? For she has not yet wed Joseph. She's still a virgin. Mary is told the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. Her womb will be filled with the Son of God. For angel Gabriel says, nothing for God is impossible. How does Mary respond? Well, not with the abruptness or the rudeness of Zechariah. Not the disbelief or shock I'm sure many of us, myself included, would have responded with. But instead, a simple, stoic, heroic acceptance of this most extraordinary of messages. "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." A simple yes, a surrender, an almost unimaginable display of courage to news that not only shook the ground she stood on, but the entirety of history. A task perhaps so big and dangerous, so scandalous, and yet so simply accepted. To say yes to this request to bear the Son of God outside of her marriage was to face certain rejection from the world, a real threat of death, as outlined in the laws of the time. And to put at risk all of what was expected and planned for Mary's life, not least the expectations of those around her too. And yet in response to Gabriel's message, this task and purpose sent by God, Mary bows the knee, humbles herself, readily accepts, not with terms and conditions, not with the need for clarity, but a simple yes to a God who had seen her, picked her, chosen her, and asked her to step to the plate. The pages of history hang on the response of an unassuming teenage girl from the middle of nowhere. It would make a quite unbelievable movie plot, but it's the workings of a God who holds history in his hands and who works his plans out in the simple, obedient yeses of the people he chooses to reveal his will and purposes to. What might God want to draw our attention to this morning? What is he to say to each of us through this story? Well, firstly, God interrupts Mary's day. She's just at home, perhaps dreaming of her wedding to Joseph, maybe preparing meals for the day ahead, totally unaware that the day is about to shake the foundations of history until the angel appears. You see, God is the one who takes the initiative, Mary didn't go looking for the opportunity to carry the Son of God. God seeks her out. Mandy read for us in Ephesians 2, but God. The picture for God's people was bleak. No prophets had spoken for 400 years. There had been silence from heaven, and God's people had waited. Some still hoped, but I'm sure for many they thought the dream of freedom and deliverance was dead in the waters. Where was God in the midst of this wait? But God had other ideas. But God was readying himself to become like us in order to win us. But God was eyeing up, looking for a servant obedient enough to truly trust his faithfulness in a situation that would be demanding, costly, and scandalous. But God came close with the gift of his presence, the promise of his plan coming into being. The task was put to Mary. All she had to do, in a way, was say yes. God's plan from Genesis to send one who would deliver his people, who would mend the relationship between God and man, was to be carried in the womb of a teenager, who, as Ephesians said, was part of God's plan. It was his masterpiece, created in Christ to do the works God had prepared beforehand for those who love him, for those who want to walk in the way God calls us to. God is the one with the plan, the unique purposes for each of our lives. The God who had a plan for Mary has a plan for our lives today. He wants to interrupt our plans, our aspirations, our hopes, instead to challenge us to walk in his way and in his freedom and in his purposes. But God. Mary sets us a beautiful example. Angel Gabriel has a huge task for her, an incredible burden she chooses to bear. She's engaged to be married to Joseph, but she's asked to carry the Son of God in her womb. Now there's obvious confusion to what Angel Gabriel says. Her and Joseph are not yet wed. This is not going to be Joseph's son. Instead, she is to carry the Son of God. Now, how do you even start to explain that to people in a way that is believable or plausible to friends, to Joseph, to family, to neighbours, to other worshippers in the temple? However, when assured that nothing is impossible for God, well, Mary's response is perhaps the most challenging thing we read in all of Scripture. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. See, Mary doesn't need more time to check. She doesn't need to make sure. She doesn't come to God with the terms and conditions. She doesn't have a pre-made contract ready to go in case it's not as the angel says. Instead, she knows God's will, and it's enough for her. With a yes changing everything. I wonder today how we can all be like Mary. That we would offer God our yeses. That we wouldn't wait to see if there was a better option or a different possibility. That we would trust and take God at his word. When God asks something of us, how do we bow the knee and trust he knows what he's doing, even when it seems to make no sense to us? You see, Mary goes on to sing a song of praise, what we call the Magnificat. We'll sing a version of it in our final hymn of our service. You know, in this song, Mary praises God. She rejoices that God has seen her in her humble state and has deemed to call her blessed. Her song is one that reminds us that God's mercy is a gift he gives freely to each of us. Mary says, God, you give strength to those who need it. You lift up the lowly. You fill the hungry. He helps his servants, and he spoke and still speaks today. Mary, in response to God's task, doesn't get big-headed. Oh, look how holy and blessed I am. No, instead she turns to praise and to wonder and worship. Faced with the weight of history, she does not seek to praise or marvel in her gifts or in her chosenness, but instead in the God who sees her and calls her blessed. When good things happen, when blessings come our way, do we likewise turn to praise? What have we each got to give God praise and thanks for this day? Has he lifted us up when we were low? Has he given us strength when we didn't know how to keep going? Has he filled us with good things? Has he spoken to us to keep us going? Now, Mary's yes has a lot of consequences. Yes, it changes the course of history forever. She holds within her God himself, but she also practically puts her life and future at risk. What would Joseph say? How would everyone else react to her pregnancy? And yet Mary doesn't think about all the reasons not to trust, not to say yes. She doesn't do what I so often do and write a pros and cons list. She doesn't need time to think about it. She receives God's message, bows the knee and says yes. I wonder where this morning God is waiting on all of our yeses today. Where are you keeping the King of Kings waiting? What better option are you waiting or hoping for? Where do you worry that God's made the wrong choice when he asks something of you? The Lord says, come and follow me. God says, go and share the good news with those around you. Step away from the ways of the world and instead live in full freedom today. What blessings is God waiting to bestow on those who will be courageous and obedient in their yes to following God wherever he calls, come, whatever may happen? The yes to God is costly. It requires a laying down, perhaps of our own hopes, plans and dreams. But when our yes is aligned with what God calls us to be, to do, to share, to say, the eternal amen in history rings. There's a stepping into freedom, into possibility, into living in alignment with God's plan for his future and our lives. You know, every year at Christmas, I'm so struck by how extraordinary God's first choice is to carry the heaviest of burdens. See, Mary's not an important woman. She's not wealthy and successful. She's not well established in life. She's a teenage girl from the middle of nowhere. God, though, is not limited by our experience, our age, our family lines, the amount of money in our bank accounts, our exam grades, our titles. He doesn't care where you're from or how well known you are. No, as in Nazareth 2,000 years ago, today God looks for our hearts, our obedience, our willingness to lay down ourselves for the pursuit of holiness. Mary didn't have a rich and full CV. She was a nobody until this conversation, quietly getting on with life, waiting for God's Messiah, never daring to believe that she would have any part to play. And yet, when asked by God to join in, she responds with a yes, becomes the God bearer, the one who carries Emmanuel in her womb, the baby whose hands had thrown stars into space is somehow held in Mary's body, carried in the womb of an obedient teenage girl. God trusted himself not to powerful kings or rich businessmen, but instead to an unseen, unheard of teenager who possessed the courage necessary to say yes. A yes based on who was asking it of her. Let it be to me as you have said. Mary brought nothing to the table except her obedience and trust. Do we believe that God loves us as we are? That he sees us? He calls us by name? He made each of us with a reason and a purpose. He doesn't need you to try and impress him. But God came close. But God speaks freedom. But God comes with forgiveness and thousands chances. God sees you. He knows you. Here's a question for you. Come and follow me, and then will you go and be part of his plan? The hinge of history swings upon a yes from a teenage girl. The hope of the world resides in her. Not because she earned this difficult assignment, not because she'd come top of a class, but because she chose the path of obedience. She trusted that the God who said he would do so. She accepted what the angel said when Gabriel said, "Nothing is impossible." She chose to surrender. The same God who saw Mary, who picked her from the beginning of time to serve him, still sees us, creates us for divine plans, appointments, and purposes. Today, will our ears be open to his call? Will our hearts be ready to receive his instructions? Would we be able to offer our lives, our assignments, our futures to the God who calls us by name to step into his freedom, his possibilities today? Today we come with empty hands, asking God to fill them. Today, come before the King of Kings with your hopes, perhaps with your frustrations, your fears, your burdens. Give them to Jesus. Believe that you are seen and known and called. We pray for the courage and the boldness to do what he puts on our hearts. How can this be? We might want to ask as we rule ourselves out, as we question whether God has made the right choice. Surely there's someone better to have that conversation, to take that step, to post that thing, to pray for, to be daring enough to have a conversation with someone. God's response, "I see you. I know you. I have placed you where I have placed you. Nothing is impossible for me. No one is written off or cast aside." As with Mary, the history of the world hangs on the choice of an individual. Some qualified, others not, but who choose to say yes to a God who calls the unqualified and then qualifies the called. How do we respond today? What yes is God waiting from us for that will bring peace and hope and freedom and truth to those around us this Advent season? Are you in to being part of God's plans for this world?